Check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
For over 30 years, Lexus has made the driveway a special place. But this year, some new driveway traditions appeared, like birthdays and drive-by graduation parades. Here's to making the driveway the place to celebrate. Deck your driveway at the Lexus December to Remember sales event. Find exclusive offers on our most popular models with contactless delivery. Now through January 4th. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Click the banner to discover more.
If you're just joining us, you're listening live on 107.7 New Orleans, Louisiana, to United Public Radio Network. I am your host this evening of the show, The Angel Rock. If you're just new here, I'll tell you a little bit about the show. And if you're returning guests, or I should say a returning person in the audience, thank you again for joining us. My name is Laura Lee Potvin. I am a psychic medium, a crystal Reiki energy healer, Akashic Records practitioner, as well as a spiritual teacher and mentor and a nurse, and I'm also Canadian. Our show, The Angel Rock, is basically, I say it covers anything under the paranormal realm. And for me, paranormal is defined as anything that people wouldn't consider in the norm. But I think all of my guests pretty well that I have on here, I like to share their work, whatever it may be that they're doing, because I feel they make a positive contribution and a bit of a change for the better for humanity. So that's what we deal with here. One thing I do want to remind you guys before I introduce our guest, for 2 weeks on YouTube, you're used to seeing us on UPRN's YouTube channel, United Public Radio's channel. Too much to get into, but we're over on a different channel right now. So it's called UFO Paranormal Radio on YouTube. So if you want to join in the chat, you want to watch the show, that's where you'll be able to see the video. And that's where you'll be able to participate in the chat, because I always keep an eye on the chat room when we're live, and I try and involve our audience in as part of the show. So tonight, I know you guys, I had him on here, gosh, it was probably almost a month ago. He's a good friend of mine, Gavin Lee Davies. He's from Wales. And as you know, he has a publishing company. So he has sent me some fantastic guests, one of whom we have this evening. Her name is Carol J. Obley. It says Soul Visions, I believe that's the name of our company, has been the bridge between heaven and earth over 11,000 group and individual readings. She has been the subject of newspaper articles spoken on both radio and TV, and is the author of 4 books on mediumship and healing. She has also published articles on spiritual and metaphysical subjects and taught numerous workshops at Lilydale, New York. That's on my bucket list. I'm going to be asking her about that tonight. And the largest U.S. Center for Spiritualism. She has produced audio programs to help people with spiritual development and teaches classes in intuition, mediumship, and healing. And she's going to talk to us about her new book that she just recently had out a few months ago. Welcome, Carol. So nice to meet you.
Yes, thank you so much.
I'm so glad that you're here. So I got to ask you right away, Lilydale, I saw that documentary that was put out by HBO, and that's on my bucket list. So do you go regularly? Because obviously it's probably not having a festival this year with what's been going on, but is that something that you do?
Yeah. Actually, I started going to Lilydale many years ago, decades ago, as, sort of a guest there. And right. I stayed there and took mediumship training, mm-hmm. in addition to other training I've had in mediumship. Mm-hmm. And then I have taught there. I taught there many years, mm-hmm. Different workshops that I developed recently. You know, this past summer was pretty much a wash with everything.
I know.
So the season before that, I taught 2 workshops there. And I hope that you do get to go, because Lilydale is really, there's no place like it. It has many, many, well, over a century of spiritualism. And you're very close to the spirit world when you're there. It's it's quite a interesting phenomenon. And they also have a healing temple where they do a lot of hands-on healing. You know, so there's, it's a quiet place. A lot of people who reside there are mediums, you know, they have signs up. So it is, it's a place worth visiting at least once.
I think that's so cool. Cause like I said, I've watched that documentary quite a few times, and it was even before I started working with my own gifts. And I was just, you could really, the energy was palpable even from watching the documentary. It just seems like such a magical place of calm, love, peace, lots of healing, definitely. And I have to say, I'm so glad, you know, I don't think I've had him. Well, I've had one medium on my show. She's a good friend of mine, Katrina Cooper. So I'm glad that you're on tonight, but I want to know, how did you get into mediumship?
Well, like some other people in this field, I had sort of a catastrophic event that happened. In my first and second book, I wrote openly about that. It was a fire, and it burned me out of what I was doing at the time. I owned the business. I had a partner in the business. And overnight, there was an electrical fire. One of the ballasts in the lights sparked, and it caught the couch on fire. And so the place burned. And, you know, in a nutshell, it was really the universe saying, you're not going to do this anymore. You know, there's a different calling for you. Now, I was in my mid-30s when that occurred. So, you know, I was born with the ability to be sensitive. You can see it right there in my astrological natal chart. But it's just like anything else. There's potential until it's developed. And so it took that sort of catastrophe or tragedy to take me off of that pathway. I know what it was like to lose a business to fire. I can't imagine losing a home to fire. I have a lot of compassion for people who've gone through that, or, you know, other natural disasters. So it took about a year, and I got a phone call from a friend who is no longer with me. She crossed over tragically, but she invited me to go to a metaphysical center, and it was in a small town near where I lived. And so I did, and I immediately started taking classes there. I started with Reiki.
Right.
And that really jump-started everything for me. And then I went to a place called Delphi. It's near Atlanta, Georgia. And I went there twice, and it's extremely accelerated as far as spiritual development. And that's where I took a lot of in-depth healing, hands-on healing, and also mediumship training.
Beautiful. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Everything's kind of just expanded from there. It's been one thing after the other. This is what I call mediumship. And if you're working in service and compassion to help others, it's really a self-upgrading sort of program. I don't think we can ever rest on our laurels. There's always this refinement of the conduit that's going on. And that's exactly what's happened for me.
Well, like I said, I'm so glad to have you here. Everybody, I've had, actually, now that I think of it, I have had a few mediums on. And there's one in particular I can think of. She's a friend of mine. She's from the UK, but she lives in Canada. And her husband's actually a past life regressionist. And she was over in the UK, and she had really tried, like, really, not a fire, but like spirit basically hitting her over the head, like, guess what? You're not listening. This is what you're going to be doing. And yeah, it really changed her life. And it sounds, I can't even imagine, like you said, and I don't think people think about it. A lot of people, I think, really have a hard time putting themselves in somebody else's shoes unless you've been through it. And I think it's anything in life. Like, people can have, you know, empathy, but when it comes to compassion, I always said this, that even as a nurse, I'm off on permanent disability, that one day I would love to see in the healthcare field. Anybody who became a nurse or a doctor, especially the ones that are dealing with patients all the time, that you had to be a patient yourself in the hospital and not just going through ER or for a surgery. But, and again, I wouldn't wish ill on anybody, but you get it. You get it when you've been there. You get what it's like to go to the hospital, have no medical knowledge, how scary it is, you know, the smells, the sights, the sounds. Maybe one of these days, because, you know, you find, I guess that's with any profession. You find, you know, some people just, they don't get it. They try, but.
Yeah. Well, no, that's very true. And so in readings, I'm always, you know, with loss, I deal, of course, with a lot of loss and grief with people. But I also do an awful lot of life guidance. I call them life guidance issues and astrology. I've studied astrology for many, many, many years, and I continue to read books on it and take online courses. So any tool that I can use to help people, you know, with their life and with passings, you know, the losses, all of us are going to experience that at some point. So I deal a lot with transitions with people and helping them really to understand that. And at the core of all of that is really reminding people, because we all really know this on with our higher self, but reminding people of the divinity and the expansiveness and the sacredness of their own soul. Mm-hmm. And really excellent mediumship should do that. You know, it should speak to right living and harmonious living and also the eternity of the soul. So that's always part of what I do. And my spirit guides, those souls who help me on this pathway, they love to teach through me too. So in a lot of my readings, there's little snippets of teachings for people too.
You know what? I get where you're coming from with that, because with what I do too, I have a lot of different modalities. And though I've got it listed, say, an Akashic Records reading or a mediumship reading or a psychic reading, you know what? I always tell them I don't need to know much about you, because it's easier for me that way. It's harder for me to do reading for someone I know very, very well. And you end up pulling from all those modalities. And you're right. You do a lot of teaching, a lot of counseling. Do you find that too?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's sometimes people will say, mm-hmm. Well, this sounds like counseling. And I'll say, you know, it's not mediumship. I'm not, you know, giving evidence of people in spirit. But they'll say, well, this sounds like counseling. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of readings involve counseling. If you think that you're connecting with somebody who is truly skilled and you're not going to, you know, have to look at something or, you know, realize something, then, you know, you found the wrong medium, because that's, yeah. You know, that's the way that I have always been from the time I started, almost, well, it's going on 3 decades. So many years ago. And, you know, there's always personal responsibility as well that people have to be aware of. So yeah, that's all part of it.
So you said, or the bio you sent over, and thank you, because I didn't even get a chance to ask you, and I was going through my email and you had sent it, so thank you. It says, with over 10,000 readings, this is something Gavin sent me, and I did start to read some of your book. It's interesting. I'm going to finish it. That you've done, what's the most compelling messages that Spirit have imparted through the sessions that you've done over the years?
Oh, boy. Well, the new book, Wisdom from the Spirit World, it's 8 or 10 lessons. I kind of combine a couple of them that have been repeating themes throughout all of these thousands of readings. And so I woke up 2 Julys ago, it was about 2.5 years ago, and boom, there was the idea for the book, because there was actually 5 years in between Soul to Soul Connections and this one. And I knew I was probably going to write another book. It's an enormous amount of work. Mm-hmm. And I always say, don't quit your day job. Mm-hmm. But it's a tremendous amount of work. And so this is what came to me from higher source was about these lessons. To name a few of them, very basic, lesson number one, there is an afterlife. It sounds very simplistic, I suppose, but there are certain people who are on the fence about that. They really don't know.
Or they don't believe. They just truly don't believe that there is an afterlife. Yeah.
And I tell people, I don't believe in life after death. I know it. I know it.
Me too.
It's just like the Akashic Files, which I've written extensively about, or the Akashic Records. And people go, well, I don't know if I believe in past life. And I will say, well, I don't believe in it either. I've seen it directly. I never asked to receive it. It just started coming to me spontaneously in the very beginning. And it was kind of confusing to begin with, but then I got clarification on it. So some of the other lessons are our power of choice determines the quality of our lives. That's another theme. People sometimes do not realize how powerful free will is and how powerful their choice is. And instead of kind of giving way to victim mentality.
Yes.
Looking at empowerment and that power of choice that's within me is a choice to stay in some kind of pain or suffering.
Yeah.
That is a conscious choice. Another lesson is very much about the cornerstone of healing, which is forgiveness. And I write an awful lot about that. I dedicate many pages to forgiveness. I think a lot of people misunderstand that. It truly doesn't mean that we're okaying what has occurred. If somebody hurt us, if somebody wronged us, what it means is it's a conscious decision to release the past. And by doing that, that accelerates our spiritual awareness and evolution. Carrying around that baggage is really what holds people down. And actually, that's one of the laws of prosperity. Mm-hmm. If you want a flow of abundance in whatever way, it could be with money or friends or health, releasing the past, releasing what doesn't serve you, is a fundamental law of being able to open your heart and your mind to receive. When we have blockage there, it's taking up space.
You are absolutely right. And, when I was first learning about the law of attraction and trying to get that to work, and, what I was realizing was, as many of us can be, very good at giving, but not good at receiving. That's the other piece of the puzzle that's so important. And a lot of us forget that. You're right.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up because it put in mind a clairvoyant image, which is a scale. Mm-hmm. And I actually wrote about the scale in Wisdom from the Spirit World and the meaning of it. And, in some traditions, like with the ancient Egyptians, they depicted the heart of the deceased being weighed against a feather. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote about that and saying, go into your heart, see what's there. What do I need to release? Who do I need to forgive? Do I need to engage in compassionate self-forgiveness? That's been a big one for me.
That's hard for all of us, I think. And when I teach that too, I say I'm still a work in progress and I probably always will be in self-love too.
Yeah, I think it's difficult, particularly for women. I think by nature, we tend to carry, an over responsibility for others' well-being and others' feelings. There are people who do too much. We have to create strong boundaries. But the heart, I always say, if the heart ain't in it, it's all over but the crying, because your heart has to be in what you're doing. And that's not just what you're doing to earn a living, but in life. And there's many people who have become disconnected from that reality.
Are you finding that right now at all? Because I'll tell you, I am getting so many people coming for readings. I feel blocked. I'm lost. I'm scared. Not that you don't get that, but it's up at least 300-400%, I find. And then to explain to them that we've got this energy all around the world collectively of fear, of anger, of some hatred. And I said, you know, everything's energy on this planet. And so you can't not be affected by it. So are you finding that as well?
Yes. Yeah. There's many people at pivotal points. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of those today, earlier today, you know, and a lot of people questioning what purpose is. And, you know, I always say there's two purposes. You're already meeting purpose by being spirit. You don't have to do anything. You're expressing spirit, or you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't be here. That what most people mean, what am I supposed to be doing in the outside world? Sometimes mm-hmm. those, you know, come together and they mesh, and sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody's purpose could be to be the best mother in the world. That is purpose. Mm-hmm. Or to, you know, take care of others. Like you mentioned that you do nursing, mm-hmm. That you've done nursing. So, you know, there are caretakers who aren't earning anything, but they're taking care of people. That's all just as important as anybody who's out there earning, you know, $3 million. It's just as important.
We don't learn that as a nurse. I can tell you that, not even in Canada. Yeah. But I hear what you're saying. And you know what, being a nurse, and I still have my paper, I won't be able to go back because of my back injury. It's been quite a few years, but I stay on top of it. And I always said, I've been so deeply, deeply blessed to be there at the beginning of life, hundreds of times working in the NICU, labor and delivery, maternal, newborn. And then when I went into the community as a visiting nurse, I worked a lot in palliative care. And I said, I felt so deeply honored when a family member is chosen to transition, as I call it, back home. And the family is on board, but they need a healthcare professional to be there. So I've been there as well. It's almost like seeing the whole circle of life, really. And yes. It's just such a beautiful thing. And, you know, most people are afraid of death. It's another thing, too, I'd love to hear. Have you had much experience, like, with near-death experiences at all, or?
I have not personally. However, when I taught some of the workshops that I taught at Lilydale,
right.
There were people who were attracted to my workshop. Mm-hmm. The one workshop was Understanding Death from a Spiritual Perspective. That was the title of my workshop. Mm-hmm. And there was almost 60 people that came to this workshop. I was very blessed by that. I remember one lady in particularly who was there, who attended, who talked about having near death. When right. it dramatically, as I'm sure you know, a lot of people that have had those, it really changes people's
absolutely
fundamental orientation in life, because it's a remembrance on the deepest level of where we came from, and returning there, you know, just temporarily, just for, you know, seconds or minutes, you know, it brings back all of that kind of refreshment of the soul and the soul.
And why they're here. So many people don't realize nobody's on this planet by accident. You were here for a reason. And I've studied it for almost 40 years. I've told this story many times. There's a nursing publication out to this day. It's nursing. It would be 2020. And when I was going to university, it was August 1984, I think. I was 17 years old. And my first nursing, it was 1984 that came. And on the front, there were two things. There was one, why are we always eating our young? And the other one was talking about nurses and near-death experiences. Now, the first part, and was about senior nurses being really burnt out, not having the patience nor want the will or desire, many of them, to mentor younger students, like students. And so I've always remembered that because I love to teach. And so I always took students or whatever. I don't push it on people, but I do enjoy teaching. And then the near-death experiences, I don't know what it was, but it just drew me in so deeply, and have studied and studied. I was very, very fortunate working night slots too, that I've had a few people that had a cardiac arrest and were resuscitated. and needing to talk about their experience, what they had seen, like being on, telling you they were on top of the ceiling, watching their body, and you knew they had no medical knowledge from, you know, these are longstanding patients, you know, waiting a bed, say an elderly person in a nursing home or something. And you knew darn well they were in that room, and it wasn't like where they said they were. And it wasn't that they were hearing, because I know sometimes people can still hear even though they don't appear to be conscious. This person, you could tell, literally was watching. So, you know, even that, when people think there's no life after death, well, how do you, you know, people, will, scientists have tried to explain that it's the neurochemicals in the brain, and it's not, because so many people have so many different experiences when they go back home, as they call it, right?
Sure. One of the very common experiences, and this has actually happened through numerous readings, is the previously deceased relatives that come and greet
absolutely
this person.
This year has us all wanting to be healthier, and that includes our eye health. But how do you get vision coverage if you're retiring? It's actually pretty easy. VSP, the vision coverage many people get through work, offers individual vision plans. Enroll anytime, on any device, and start using your benefits the same day. You don't need to be an employee to get employee-level vision coverage. Visit VSPDirect.com today. That's VSPDirect.com.
Introducing Peacock, the new free streaming service from NBC Universal. It's hit movies, current shows, live sports, trending bits, and timeless hits. And that's why you can't not watch. Peacock, watch for free, upgrade for more. Stream now at PeacockTV.com. Law and Order SVU streaming now.
And it's interesting because I've given some readings in which I'll say, you know, your dad's coming through and there's evidence given and this and that, and this is what he passed from, and this was his personality and all this. And I'll say, did he almost cross over before? And the person will go, yeah, he had open heart surgery and he, you know, they lost him for like 30 seconds. Because what will be shown to me is a fence, a sort of boundary or fence that that soul went up to, but did not completely cross over. And, but yet they were aware of the previously deceased relatives and friends that were on the other side of that fence. And so there's a decision made at that point, you know, if I still have purpose here, if there's still something that my soul had planned, part of my Akashic. You know, I call them blueprints in my books. They're much more open-ended than contracts. So, you know, if there's something more I had planned to do, then, okay, I'm going to come back here into the physical world. And if not, and that's part of the purpose of coma, by the way, too. It's kind of that in-between state. And I've really seen, you know, in that state that there's souls that they have one foot in the spirit world and they have one foot here still. And they're kind of in that decision-making process at that time. And so they're kind of here, and but they're also there.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've also... many times that the soul really is traveling all around, but you know, the body's still there, the physical body breathing, yet they've transitioned out. And even when you like, what, as I understand it, you know, you hear some very, very horrific, horrible deaths and people having pain, and a lot of people are afraid to die. But when you hear most people talk about their near-death experiences, they didn't feel that pain at all. They were, that the soul was gone already.
Yes.
And as I understand it, unless that's part of your contract, like you've contracted to feel that pain to learn something from it, right?
Yeah, most experiences, though, I have to say, it's more the sitter in readings who worries about that kind of thing. And meanwhile, the person in the spirit world's going, that was just a door I walked through. Don't focus so much on that. I'm doing great here. And they'll often, you know, sometimes they'll show hobbies that they were doing here. They're doing them in spirit. You know, they're engaging in, you know, for example, teaching, they're continuing on with that, or healing, or whatever it was that they were doing here. So it's mainly, I think, this fear that comes from our own rational mind. Yes. That people, you know, constantly talk about. I wrote in I'm Still With You, which is my second book, and then Soul to Soul. Those are direct transcriptions from readings. So there's nothing embellished in there. I sat with headsets on and transcribed from, this is really dating me, from cassette tapes.
I know what cassette tapes are.
But also some of your listeners might not. Yeah. And then the Soul to Soul, it was digital recordings. There, a lot of those were phone readings. But, you know, the people will say, you know, they can't get beyond, the sitter can't get beyond the way the person died. And so the person's coming through and going, I've been coming to you for a long time saying, that was just my exit point. It's a doorway I walked through. There's nothing to fear. I'm doing great. They show themselves like at 25 years of age. You know, they're completely reinvented. They're completely transformed. And that is the truth of, you know, what really happens. So I think those people who have had near death are very blessed to have a firsthand, you know, experience or reminder of that. And there's a good book that I read so many books, Dying to Be Me. And
oh, I've heard of that book. I haven't read it yet, but I've heard of it. Go ahead. I'd love to hear more about it.
This lady, and a beautiful soul, I believe she is, I think she's of Indian heritage, I mean, from the country of India. Anyway, she got hooked up somehow with Wayne Dyer, the late Wayne Dyer, and he took her to different conferences. She had devastating cancer that really ate
her. Oh, Johnny. That's why I recognize the name of the book.
Yes, thank you. Yes, yeah. And she talks about what it was like to go to the other side. She met up with her father, who wasn't particularly accepting of her when he was here in the physical world. But when she met up with him, interestingly, in the spirit world, she describes this complete connection of unconditional love with her father. So, and I've heard that and I've seen it directly in my readings many, many times. You know, I don't know about you, if you've done readings in which somebody will come through, say a parent, and the person will go, I don't want to hear from them. They were a nasty parent or whatever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say, hold on, because they have something to say to you. And sometimes people are very resistant to that, and they'll cross their arms, or on the other end of the phone, you know, I hear defiance, or they get silent. And meanwhile, the mother's coming through and she's going, you know, I got over here and I saw the choices I made, and I see how that affected you. And I'm coming through to tell you, I'm going to help you now. I wasn't helpful when I was there, but I know that I was remiss as a mother, and I need to do this.
Or you get people saying, that's not my mother. That's not my
exactly.
father. They were never like that in lifetime. And then you got to explain
exactly
that they transitioned back to where we come from. They see it not from so much a human perspective, but a well-encompassing, holistic love. There's not even a word in the human language to explain the type of love that is over there compared to what is here.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, I've heard it described as highly diluted, mm-hmm. what we have here. And
yes.
sometimes people misunderstand when you say the word love, they think airy-fairy, you know, romantic type love. It's not that. It's an all-encompassing, and that's why I love that book, and I'm mostly finished with it. A client gifted me with it, and I'm very grateful. So maybe even in preparation for this chat with you.
Maybe.
We've never talked before either.
I've never had the pleasure. I have no problem talking, obviously, and I've been really looking forward to having you on tonight. So I'm so glad that you're here. Maybe that's why, I don't know. And I told you this before, maybe I've mentioned it a few times to the listeners, but I don't get nervous before a show because I put it all over to spirit. It's just like, okay, spirit, please, I'd appreciate you helping me guide the conversation where it needs to go or whatever it is. And it just seems to work out.
It surely does. I'm very spontaneous with Speaking, you know, my other, I'm a sun sign Capricorn. So my middle name is planning, you know, I'm an excellent planner and organizer, pardon me. But with communication and readings, it has to be in the moment and interviews as well. And I've certainly had my share of, I started doing radio very early in my career, very, very early. I don't know why, but it just happened that way. And, you know, here I am, you know, I just started mediumship later in life and boom, I'm on radio, a lot of people listening and so forth. And a lot of radio. You know, I'm very grateful for that because it's enabled me to get some sort of a self-confidence. Yeah. You know, you have to think on your feet. I'm sure you know. It's just like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. What I used to do on a previous network I was on, I used to do a show every night from Monday through Friday. And now I look back and think, God, how did I do that? But you know what? My best friend, and we are exact opposites almost. She's collects haunted items. She is a paranormal investigator. She collect, what else does she do? There's all kinds of things, and we just kind of meet in the middle. And we worked from 15 seconds. We had to get to know each other at the other network, and we've been best friends ever since. But we work well together because we don't always agree, but it's done with respect. It's done with love, and we're willing to hear each other. And that's all really anybody needs, I think, you know, and especially with the way things are nowadays, is just to respect the other person, that you may not agree with what they're saying, but you can even agree to disagree, right? And I guess that's a question I have for you. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I'll ask
to learn. I think that's what we need to learn. I fell into that trap too, in this, you know, we're still not clear of the election here in the U.S., so I'm not getting into politics, but I think it's up for review. I think all of us are at this highly pivotal point. I mean, this is a worldwide situation that we're going through. You know, I could even get into the astrology of it, but
I'm interested because we were actually, Joe does a politics show. We have a host chat on Friday night. So my husband was just on before me, Del. He does. I like to call it truth seeking, not conspiracy theory, but, you know, putting sort of topics out there and providing some research and what he's found. And he just gives his perspective. He always says, you know, don't trust what I say. Go and do your own research. I have a lot of respect for people that say that, especially when you're talking about topics like that. And then the second week is the paranormal. So if you're open to it, I would love to hear what astrology has to say about this. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that would that are listening.
Sure. Well, we have the two heavyweight planets. Mm-hmm. Saturn is one. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Pluto. Right. Pluto moves exceedingly slowly. For example, it's been in the sign of Capricorn for, it's going to end up being about 23 years. Wow. It still has a couple of years to go. And so what is Capricorn really? And what is Saturn? Saturn is the ruler, what's called the ruler of Capricorn. Saturn is about structures and institutions on the earth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anything that's been longstanding, it's about tradition. It's also about sort of the patriarchy, being in the box, following the rules. Mm-hmm. Not coloring outside the lines. Now, when Pluto converged there, and that was last January, you know, we're almost at a year with that. That's when this massive transformative energy, which is Pluto, which represents transformation, it really steamrolled over, okay, if this isn't serving the organism or the patient or the entity as a collective, it needs to be demolished. Okay. And so that's what you've been seeing in a lot of businesses, the financial markets, healthcare, certainly, anything you can think of as a structure in the physical world. Pluto, really, and it's not a quick change. Pluto, the ramifications from Pluto can be last years. And we're not going to be the same I think we all agree on that. We're not, you know, this has not been like, oh, okay, I'm over that now, back to normal, back to the way it was. So when you have these very highly significant planets, which are simply, they don't cause things. I want people to understand that. They're simply a reflection of the energies that are going on within the individual, the microcosm, and then also the macrocosm or collective humanity. So a lot of us, you'll see us, you know, like you were saying, a lot of clients calling, who am I? Where do I go? What do I do at this point? I feel stuck. I feel blocked. I don't know what to do. You're seeing that. You and I see that a lot in our readings, making contact with people. It's also, of course, going on in the collective. So you're going to be seeing continuing change with Saturn shifting at the equinox, by the way, and that's December 21st in about 3 weeks. It's going to shift into Aquarius. It'll be at 0 degrees Aquarius. So that's a strong air sign, very different than the energy of Capricorn. So I think what we're going to see is much more connection through virtual means, like we've been doing through Zoom and Skype and all the virtual platforms. I feel like part of this isolation is going to continue. You know, Aquarius is not a warm, fuzzy sign. It's very futuristic. It's it wants change, and it looks at the greater good of the collective whole. So there is definitely, and you'll probably feel it if you're sensitive to energy, see what you feel or what comes up for you on December 21st at the equinox, because you'll probably feel that change, mm-hmm. With Saturn leaving that area of your birth chart and switching into the element of air.
I have a question for you, actually, because we watch a lot of podcasts, and there's a channel that he was actually on my show. It's The Leak Project. His name's Rex Bear, and I forget the last name of the guy that was on there. His name was Micah, and he was actually pulling in astrology with some of the world events and then going back in history. And he says that with the dawning of a new age, so I knew Aquarius was coming. He said there seems to be a new religion every dawning of like a new sign. He felt that it's probably going to be the religion of technology almost. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
That's what I was saying. I really concur with that, because technology is like money. Mm-hmm. It can be used for very wonderful purposes and bring people closer, or it can be used for not so good purposes, for exploitation, or you know, kids being, abducted, or people taking advantage of you or scamming you. I mean, it's just like money. It's neutral. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be up to us, but I really see, because Saturn's going to be in Aquarius for 2.5 years. That's how long it takes to transit a sign, more or less. Fortunately, I had 3 years in my home sign of Capricorn, of Saturn, and it's been the roughest 3 years of my life. But I come out the other side, and I'm much wiser, and I've mastered some other lessons. With it, with technology, yes, I think that we're going to be tested. Saturn always gives tests, always. But it also gives rewards after you pass the tests. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be tested with our ability to connect on other levels other than in person, and to use that with ethics. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's going to be more and more teaching that goes on through virtual platforms. We've already been seeing this. I think that's going to continue to expand. Mm-hmm. You know, when Pluto finally leaves Capricorn in 2023, mm-hmm. And shifts into Aquarius, that's when I really feel this kind of new age. I hate to use those terms because they've been misunderstood, but this sort of a new phase of our existence.
Like a new paradigm almost.
New paradigm, yeah. Pluto really, it's a purifier. Mm-hmm. What it does is say, I'm going to go down in there and extract. It's like a surgery. What is corrupt? And that's what Pluto does. It's purification.
You're answering my thoughts. I was just waiting for you to stop. And I was going to ask you, what's going to happen with all this corruption and the darkness and the stuff that we're getting little bits and pieces, but a lot of the world doesn't believe it. So that's why I'd love to hear more about that. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop you. It just was like, oh my God.
We're all being asked. I mean, there's always Pluto in a natal chart. So wherever your Pluto is in your natal chart, that's where you're really going to. There could be trauma there. Pluto can be very traumatic as well. That's a whole nother ballgame. I've studied evolutionary astrology as well. But it really wants the authentic self to rise to the top and get rid of the corruption. That's what it's been doing for 21 plus years, is digging up corruption in the institutions and structures, Capricorn, structures of government, of systems, of anything that's been an established tradition, the church. Look at the corruption. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at what Pluto has brought up for people to go, okay, this was going on, this was hidden. And usually what Pluto extracts are things that are hidden, things that are very much beneath the surface. Mm-hmm. And its purpose is to get the poison out of there so that the patient, put patient in quotes, can heal. Right. And that's its function evolutionary wise.
Yeah, I have to agree.
It's fascinating.
It is. And that's one area that I hope to get into study. I have not delved into it yet, but I want to, because it sounds so fascinating. And really, it's almost like a roadmap to be able to figure out where you come from, where, you know, maybe why you're here. Like, there's so many things. If you get a person like yourself that's very skilled at reading a birth chart, and it takes hours to construct, doesn't it, for people, because they're so in depth usually.
Yeah, I mean, I usually do. I do a lot of Akashic karmic astrology. I do a ton of that.
I'd love to hear about that, because I'm newer to the Akashic records. I'm just finishing up my advanced practitioner level. I was training with Amy Robeson. So I'd love to hear. I don't think I've ever heard that before, Akashic. Yeah.
Well, astrology. I've studied that. Again, this is another in-depth study that I've taken. And you can look at the birth chart and see past life or prior incarnation skills, talents. You can also see trauma. You can see, likely the challenges that the person has brought in. You can see where healing needs to occur. Mm-hmm. You can see what the person has mastered in other lifetimes. All by looking at the birth chart. Karmic astrology is extremely insightful. I've done many sessions of it for people, and I kind of use it as a portal, if you will, much like the tarot, because I've read the tarot for many, many years too. But it's sort of a portal that I look into, and I use my own ability with spirit, looking at the person's book of life or their Akashic record. So I juxtapose those two. You know, the birth chart is simply a tool that can give you, you know, a representation. Hopefully the person has the exact time, because that is the second that the soul incarnated. So it is very relevant, because the planets were in certain houses, they were in certain signs, and they were in certain relationships to one another. So it's very insightful. There are people that I've read for who, they've actually had a couple of them, because there was too much for the hour. And in my sessions, I don't chit chat. I mean, I'm right into the client and what they want to know. So that's what it is. And there are a number of good books on it. One of them is by a British lady by the name of, and I think she's even published by my publisher and Gavin's publisher, and that's six books. Judy Hall, Past Life Astrology. And it's...
Is that the J.D. Hall with the crystals too? Because there's a J.D. Hall that does a lot of crystals.
That's the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to write her name down. Check that out, because I don't think I've seen anything about that. Because like I said, it's always fascinated me. And life gets so busy. It's not that I'm not being compassionate or having a lot of empathy for people going through this, but when I hurt my back, it was over 20 years ago. I had a patient cover a hole in his front steps. When I stepped out, I'd used the side door and it shattered all the discs in my back. So I had been in bed for almost 20 years. That's why I'm moving around a lot. Most people see me and they probably wonder why. It's hard for me to sit, but I've had a really good doctor. At least I'm able to do this now because I was in bed, like I said, for almost 20 years. Oh. But so I've been looking at ways to keep my mind busy. There's only so much TV you can watch. I rarely watch TV anymore. So I love to learn, and this is what I've been doing. If, you know, I feel the call or the pull to something or hear it from spirit, you know, I sort of delve into that topic. And I say I'm not an expert at anything, and maybe a jack of a few trades, but a lifelong learner. I think that's so important. Do you?
Oh, yes. I'll probably be reading books and maybe even writing books until I exit this level of consciousness.
Right.
I swear that I'm even learning when I'm sleeping. You know, a lot of people do. And we can actually travel. I've had dreams where I don't even know who the people are. I had one last night and I'm in some sort of auditorium.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
Hi, Jan. I heard Toyota-thon is on.
It sure is.
Perfect. I'm getting a head start on my list for Santa.
Well, we've got great year-end deals on Camry, Highlander, RAV4, and more.
But what kind of toys do you have?
It's actually Toyota-thon, not Toyota-thon. We have great deals on vehicles, not toys. I'm sorry, sweetie.
Okay. What can I get for $5?
Current offers end November 30th. Toyota-thon ends January 4th. Participating dealers only. Toyota. Let's go places.
What time is it? Are you scared?
What time is it?
Prepare yourself for the scariest, creepiest, and most haunting stories and conversations from the best independent creators.
What time is it?
Ghosts, creatures, freaky places.
What time is it?
Weird experiences, haunted objects, and so much more.
What time is it?
Put your feet in the covers and turn on a nightlight.
Someone please tell me what time it is!
It's scary time. Subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Or something. And, you know, there's people there and I can't even tell you what we were doing. But I've had a number of those types of things. So the important thing for people to understand is, you know, if you are present in presence, and that means in the current moment, you know, you don't have to do anything. Allow spirit to guide you, see what shows up. You can do the legwork and, you know, put out your intent. Sometimes we have to kind of pull back. I know I've had some hard lessons on that in my life. You know, I wanted everything in the beginning. Well, why aren't I doing that and this and this and this? And spirit in their wisdom knew that if I did that, I would fall flat on my face at that point. You know, I couldn't be doing these types of interviews then. I didn't have enough experience and whatever. The important thing, and what I've really learned is, and I think people need to know this too, is about really being in the moment. And that is where healing lies. Healing cannot be in the past. It cannot be in the future. All that you and I have and every single person who's listening to this and who's walking the face of the earth has right now. And we're
use those words word for word, and I'll say all we have is now, and then pause. That's already in the past, that word. We just have that moment. That's it. Mm-hmm. Not a hard concept, but in a way, you know, until you really sort of think about it, I guess, and ponder that, then it finally hits you. Yeah. And it's the same thing. Like I love that you brought up about the fact about, you know, where healing can occur rather than some people, and we all meet them, that they live, eat, breathe, and sleep the tragedy or the victimhood, and or they live in that. And I really believe that they're the ones, they have to find it within themselves. But a lot of people can't hold that mirror up. That's one of the hardest things, right? To hold that mirror up to our face and see ourselves honestly.
Yes. And, you know, I say ignorance is bliss, because I always say, you know, the spiritual pathway is not a bed of roses. Don't come onto this pathway and think, oh, I'm going to live my bliss. That's, I'm sorry, but that's BS.
We're still human.
If you aren't hurting in some way, if you don't have parts of self that come up that create pain, that create anger, that these are real. And people need to understand that this pathway is not about, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, be a guru or, you know, follow my bliss. That's really not what life is about anyway, because we grow through obstacles. We grow through challenges. That's how we grow. We don't grow when everything's going along smoothly. And I think this passed since March, and it's continuing on. I mean, this is going into next year at this point too.
That's where my point was. I got off track there. Sorry. What I was going to say, I've been living like this for almost 20 years, probably more. So to me, this really isn't anything new. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have a lot of empathy for people. That's where I was going with it. Sorry, I got off track there. And so I get it. I get it. But you can't force anybody to do it, but we have a choice. You could sit there and mire in everything that's so awful, or look at it as the glass half full. And what I've always said, if I had the time, this is what I would do. You've got the time. Take advantage of it. And, you know, people say, well, I don't have any money or whatever it may be. There's so many free resources out there, or mentoring services where people are like, you just got to get creative. But, you know, I guess, again, that's a choice to either embrace it or the other option, I guess.
Yes. Well, yeah, suffering is optional. You've probably heard that. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, the third section of wisdom from the spirit world, I write about in all my books. I try to pull things down to make them very simple, right, and very practical, very practical. So it's not these, you know, highfalutin metaphysical concepts. It's how can I use this in my life? How can this improve the quality of my life? What can I do? So in the third section, I write about, merging your personality, whatever that is. You have a very distinct personality. Nobody is you. Nobody is me. And merging that with the soul to offer a contribution to the world. Nobody can take your place in the unfolding divine plan. Right. And I think people, many, many people, and traditionally, and particularly women, have fallen into expectations. And so it's really important that I think we're going to be seeing really a liberation of that, of people breaking out on their own, more people being independent as we go into these next years. We talked about Aquarius. Aquarius is about liberation, about freedom, about marching to the beat of your own drummer. Right. That's what it is. And so, it's really important that people go, what do I have? So in the third section, I wrote about what are the unique qualities of your personality, and how can you merge those with what your soul is saying? You might want to go in this direction, mm-hmm. you know, with, in your case, for example, the healing field, you know, mm-hmm. I see you as being from the soul group of healers and teachers. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people have a couple of soul groups that they're members of. Mm-hmm. So if we can identify that, then it's more signposts to what we need to be doing in the outer world.
Definitely. And like I started this out at the beginning of what this show's purpose is, it's about the guests that I have on, because you're doing some fantastic work. Everybody's making a contribution usually in some way, shape or form, or trying to figure it out. But the people that I have on the show, I love the work that you're doing or the message that you have for people that, you know what, like this is going to be so helpful to the listeners. UPRN hits, like, I think, just under 200 countries. There'll be people listening from all over, you know, and what we're talking about tonight, that's going to resonate with people out there. There might be somebody that, you know, thinking, my gosh, what am I going to do with myself now? Or, you know, with seeing some of these businesses, it seems all small business sort of shutting down. This just might give them the, it just might ring true with somebody that it'll give them what they need, that little kick, if you will. Spirit does that sometimes, right?
Well, all the time. Yeah, sometimes it's a slap in the head.
Yes, yes.
You know, I've had some of those, I can tell you.
Oh, I have too.
Well, you know, anything that is painful, whatever, like just taking the example of this year. So, you know, there's been businesses that have been lost. I have a lot of compassion for people who have worked all their lives. And I see story after story since March of businesses, you know, restaurants, you know, musicians, all sorts of people that, you know, are out there that have spent their lives doing things like that. And the incredible disappointment and pain and maybe financial hardship as well. But always remember that there's a kernel of opportunity within that as well. Now, I don't mean to be a Pollyanna here or, you know, sugarcoat things. I'm not trying to do that at all. But again, we're never given something really without an opportunity to transcend it. And so, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people.
Or alchemize it too. Alchemize the skills and whatever you gathered from that situation. Just thinking outside the box, or as if there is no box, like what can I do with what I have, and how can I elevate that or turn that into something with the changes that we're going through, right?
Exactly. And it's going to be about, with these Aquarian energies coming in, it's going to be about freedom. It's going to be about the individual. And I really feel that, you know, there's going to be some more hardships. I'm not trying to make this like everything's going to be okay. it's going to be the application of our collective wills of how we use these energies that are presented. And it's always up to, you know, the individual. It begins first with the individual. But then it scopes out into the collective. So one person does indeed make a difference.
Yes.
You know, it's if anyone's listening and you feel very discouraged, or you feel, you know, what can I do? And I feel powerless here. Mm-hmm. Just think, if everybody said that, you know, the power of that, it could be very great. Well, so is the power of people pulling together and saying,
yes,
here's transformational energy. Here's an opportunity to, you know, move in another direction, to reinvent myself, to hone my skills like you're doing, you know, to do some studying in this downtime, you know, maybe to connect and open up some other avenues in one's life. So there's always opportunity there. And I would say let intuition, you know, intuition is different than psychic ability and so forth. I call intuition the internal navigator. It's the compass. And see what shows up on your pathway. You know, I now take the position, something shows up, you know, like this interview. Okay, this is what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's somebody that hopefully will be touched by something that you and I, or you say, whatever.
Well, we usually have people in the chat, but we ended up switching to a different YouTube channel. I did change it in the banner, but because I'm surprised they probably didn't see it, because we usually have quite a few. Well, not quite a few. There's anywhere from a couple to about five or six, because YouTube's our newer venture. So we usually have a lot of questions from the audience, but we don't have anybody. They haven't found the new channel yet. So so you and I are just having this great in-depth chat. And I think there'll be lots of people that will get a lot of help out of this, because I think that that's what people – actually, I'm going to ask you this, because it's often puzzled me that I don't understand why the majority of human beings feel like they need a leader. We're all capable of independent thought. We're all capable – like some of these things that seem so simple – And I understand that it's not my job or anybody else's job to even want someone to change. That has to come from within. But I don't understand. Does Spirit have any guidance for people out there to hear that?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I studied in depth natural law.
Right.
And I actually developed a workshop and taught it up at Lilydale. And, you know, one of the natural laws is karma. What we put out, we get back. So what does that really say? In essence, personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. If we realize that we are the master of our own life,
right.
And that's something I emphasize in my book highly, in all my books, mm-hmm. in all books. You are the master of your own destiny. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not a prisoner of your parents, your ancestry, the government, mm-hmm. least of all the government. Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think that maybe these new Aquarian energies are going to really liberate, because that's what Aquarius does, being ruled by Uranus, liberate people from that false notion. Because it is a false notion.
It is. I've never understood that. Why? And you see it no matter what you do in life, if there's a group of people, there's one person that'll step up and take the reins, and then everybody follows like little sheep. And that's fine if it serves your purpose, but it doesn't usually. So I just don't understand. And you'll see people looking for a leader. Who's the leader? You don't need a leader. You have a brain. And if you're on your own, use your ingenuity, pull together what you need. And so I really hope that we do see more of that. But when I say that, I don't mean that that's a means for people to do what they're doing right now, because I've never seen so many fractured families and friendships and just so much hatred and anger and fighting. And I have, my youngest son has severe autism. And when he was young, he was a challenge. He's 22. And when he was little, I think Spirit gave this to me, and I still use it to this day. And, you know, we'd be going into like 4 hours of a meltdown, just rocking and holding him because there's nothing else you could do. And, you know, I couldn't lose my patience or get angry because he needed that calm energy to calm down. And this is what I used to say, and I still do. If it doesn't make any difference 10 minutes from now, let alone 10 years from now, let it go and pick your battles. Because, you know, 10 years from now, people might not be speaking because of what's going on. Will they even remember why? It really, and again, we've been talking now, that's all we have. I don't know, maybe I'm getting really philosophical tonight, but
I think that that's very important. pardon me. And by the way, mm-hmm. That is actually another compelling message that's come through many, many readings with where there's been these divisions within families, mm-hmm. and somebody, you know, one of the older family members is coming through from the spirit world, and they're saying, heal this, mm-hmm. you know, heal this with your sister, for example. And the sitter will go, well, this and that. and the person from spirit is looking at it from this higher perspective and saying, this was my life experience. And I can't tell you how many times that I've delivered those kind of messages in readings where the spirit person is coming through and saying, this happened in my life. I don't want to see this happen in your life. Mm-hmm. This has been a family pattern. So you need to address it. And it's sort of an urging mm-hmm. from that person to mend that mm-hmm. while they have opportunity.
It's just whether you're ready to hear it.
Yeah, well, you know, we plant seeds. Mm-hmm. You can lead a horse to water, but
that's true. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely true. You were talking about karma, and one of the I just love Gavin, because if I haven't talked to someone ahead of time, it's like, you don't know me, I don't know you. So you know, he gave me a few talking points. I thought this was a really good one that he'd mentioned from your newest book. You write about soul maps and karmic lessons. What are these? How do they manifest in our lives?
Well, soul maps are kind of the design that the soul has chosen prior to physical incarnation. And so that people don't misunderstand, this is not on a conscious level. This is not something that you go, oh yeah, I remember when I, yeah. you know, I signed up for this or that. So what they really are is the design, the pathways that we're going to take here. And the navigation tool is intuition, because intuition is the voice of the soul. And
I like that.
Every time people ignore that, they're usually always sorry.
Yes, I have pretty well learned. I don't know, most people I know that are aware of the abilities they have, that you have this internal argument going on in your head and you're going, no, I'm not doing it. No, you need to do that. And Seraphine, my bestie, who I'd mentioned that we do a show tomorrow night, the occult historian, we joke that we share a Nagi spirit guide, because it's like we have the same guide, and we'll just, not in a bad sense, but just constantly will keep, you know, you really should do that. No, no, like you really need to do that. So I hear what you're saying. And I think it is important, but a lot of people can't hear that inner voice. I don't know if it's with what's going on in life or fear,
well,
or what it is.
There's way too much. And that's why I've taught intuition development. And I have a 3 CD set with a little workbook that goes with it. It's called Igniting Your Spiritual Intuition.
I love it.
That's on my website, and it's also on Amazon. But anyway, it's a compilation of about 12 or 15 years of teaching that. Mm-hmm. And I have meditations on there and the human energy system, the chakra, and so forth. So I think that people, there's been way too much emphasis on the rational mind. Mm-hmm. The male aspect, and that has nothing to do with being male or female, but simply, you know, oh, I can prove that. Okay. It's legitimate, you know, whereas intuition, you're not going to have a lot of times that outside proof when you're paying attention to it, you're going to have to go on faith and trust.
Right.
For a lot of people, you know, that's difficult.
Or take the jump and the net will appear. A lot of people can't do that either, right? Sometimes you just got to trust, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these soul maps, they will play out. And karmic challenges are what we've come in to heal. You know, the only reason we're here meaning on the earth, anybody, is to remove more layers from around the light, which is the essence of the soul. That's the only reason we're here.
I like that. You know what? I've never thought of that before. And I'm going to be really honest with you. And I've never said it on this show. I don't think you've even said it to anybody. I've been often wondering, I understand that it's to help grow the soul and life lessons and what, but I thought, like, is this all just a big game or something? And you just answered my question for me right there. It helps to remove more and more of the layers to reveal the light. I think that's beautiful. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Well, yes. I mean, it's not about adding. Mm-hmm. I think that's why when you look at an infant, that a newborn infant, there is, yes, there's karma there, but there's also that purity, because that soul is fresh from the spirit world where that unity exists, right? There's that, you know, that innocence. And, yes. You know, at the end of life too, there's a lot of folks who end up much like the infant. And, it's kind of interesting. We got this in between. That's the problem, is the in between.
It is. Well, I thought about that, because actually when I was in university getting my nursing degree, I got hired as a nursing student. And so I did a lot of nights, and you would find that people with Alzheimer's or dementia would get the sundown syndrome, especially when it was a full moon, and they'd revert back to their natural language, even though they might have spoken English all their lives. But if they say they spoke Polish as a baby or, you know, a small child, and then this constant wandering, and it really seemed like they weren't there. And I remember asking Spirit about this, and the way it was shown, or I hope I didn't misinterpret it, but it's almost like the soul is out, you know, astral traveling and doing all the things it needs to do. Just the shell of the body is just kind of holding space till they return back from that journey.
Yeah. The other interesting thing too, is when we go to sleep at night, sometimes the spirit body, I kind of mentioned this briefly before, but the spirit body or the astral body will travel. Now, other times it'll kind of just hang around near the physical body. The main difference with death is that silver energy cord that attaches that to the body will dissolve. It actually starts dissolving a short time before death.
Yes.
So, and sometimes you'll have people and they'll go, you know, you'll have people start to give things away, or they'll just have a knowing, or they come into a peacefulness. And I really believe it's because the soul is saying, okay, you know, it's going to be time now. We're going back home. Mm-hmm. And there's great comfort in knowing that there's always life. Mm-hmm. This just happens to be one form of it. That this is just one form. And it is form.
But the thing is, you know, and people, and I get it. I've had loved ones pass. And, you know, you are so right about this. I think it was my oldest son I was explaining this to. He's 25. He's just moved out on his own. Is it about 3 hours away? And he always has these questions. Both my boys do have abilities. I never pushed it with them. But, you know, my oldest actually can communicate with animals. I'm trying to get him to teach me. I'm learning, but it came naturally. But he asked me questions like that, like what happens when you dream or what happens when you die. And so to be able to explain these things that you're just talking about right now, or the fact that we go on forever, like there's so much evidence out there. But I understand it's human nature to want proof, but there's so much evidence out there to prove that, yes, we go on forever.
Yeah. And I don't know about you. You probably have. I've had some very bizarre paranormal experiences.
No, God, I was wondering if you were going to ask. Go ahead and then I'll tell you.
Very strange things. In fact, I've written about them in my books. I've talked on many radio shows mm-hmm. about them. or I've seen ectoplasm. And just things that, and interestingly, when those things happened, I was alone. So there's no way I could corroborate that with, you know, somebody else, but I would never lie. I'm not that sort of person.
You don't need to.
Yeah. I mean, these were very real mm-hmm. experiences, and I've actually even seen a shadow person. Oh, so
I'm just letting you speak. You're going to probably resonate with a lot about what I'll tell you in a minute, but yep. Shadow person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I got rid of her because she.
Check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices, exclusions apply.
Did not smell good, and I did not trust her. I don't know where the heck she came from, but I've actually seen ectoplasm. Ectoplasm, for those listeners who don't know, is it sort of looks like smoke, like, you know, cigarette smoke or like a dense fog, and it's kind of.
I have pictures of it.
Moves around. But yeah, I lived in a very haunted house. And it scared the heck out of me. I was afraid to get up at night to go to the bathroom. I was afraid of this thing. And it would come very close, and it would hover around my dogs.
Oh.
But I've had a lot of experiences like that.
You know what? Most people that I have met that are doing the line of work that you and I are have had those experiences. And, you know, you'll get somebody, because I do teach, you know, people going through or wanting to discover their abilities. And I always say it's not just the positive that can see us. You know, they know that we can see and we can hear them and what everything else. There's also negative entities that really shouldn't be here that are. Now, you asked me about paranormal experiences. Actually, my husband, Dahl, and I have shared our experience on the Travel Channel's Paranormal Survivor. The last house I was in, I was in it for over 20 years. And it was about a year before I got divorced from my first husband that things started to get a little crazy. And this is about the time the movie The Secret came out. And we were watching it because it was a big buzz, right? This was about 15, 16 years ago. And like I had mentioned, my back was really bad at that time, but I always had to be keeping busy. So I was making a lot of pet accessories and all kinds of stuff. So if I could get out, I was finding that these people that I'd be talking to would want to carry what I was making. They didn't want any compensation for it or anything. So I remember saying this to my first husband, and he was joking. He said, well, maybe it's the law of attraction. It's the secret. Lo and behold, I kid you not, it was either that night or the next night. And I remember this dream like it happened 20 minutes ago. And this was about 15, 16 years ago. There was a tree in my front yard, and I was out in my front yard, and there was a man sitting in my tree. And I was looking up. I always say I'm not a high maintenance kind of person, but you could tell he was wearing a very expensive dark gray charcoal pinstripe suit, white shirt, black tie. And as they start looking up, he had this sickly kind of whitish green skin, black hair slicked back to about here, and very neatly trimmed beard and goatee, except that his eyes would turn completely black and then to pure flame. And he said, hello, Laurlee. He said, do you know that little business that's been happening with you? He said, I can give you anything. I can give you wealth. I can give you fame, anything beyond your wildest dreams. All you have to do is agree to follow me. What I said in the dream was not radio friendly, but there was no way in hell I was agreeing to this. I knew this in this dream. I'm getting goosebumps even now telling you. And then I said, and who are you? He identified himself as a demon, told me his name, spelt it. And I was raised Roman Catholic my whole life. I don't identify with that anymore, just myself being highly spiritual. I'd never heard this name before. Again, I told him, actually yelled most emphatically, and it was not radio friendly what I said, to leave. And he started mocking me and laughing at me and going, oh, no, 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 no. Every time you see a crow or a raven, you'll know who it is. And I remember calling an Archangel Michael in the dream. There was this brilliant flash of royal blue, white, and silver light. I woke up sweating, shaking, and crying, and I'm not a crier. And then that is when all hell broke loose in my house. My current husband almost died. One of us had to stay awake at night while the other three slept. Speaking of ectoplasm, he was choking on it. Something was trying to, I guess, get into him, thrown 15 feet, burnt, scratched, you name it. So I always say I would never in a million years wish something like this on somebody, even a blade of grass. But you know what? I am grateful for the opportunity because I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. Like you said, sometimes spirits smack you upside the head. That's what got me doing what I'm doing now.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. That's quite an experience.
I am writing some books, actually. There's three books I'm writing, but that's the one. It was pretty crazy. And it wasn't just our family. There was other people that experienced this as well. So, but I started taking pictures and stuff because like you said, you saw ectoplasm, but you were alone. How do you prove that? Right. It's human nature. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Mine came out of the wall.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
I was standing there brushing my teeth. Mm-hmm. It was about 8 o'clock in the evening, and old fashioned bathroom, tub on feet, you know,
like Victorian age.
All of a sudden, what's that?
Was it like from the Victorian age?
No, this house was built, I believe, in the 20s or 30s, 1920s, 1930s. It had been, an obstetrician's office, as a matter of fact. So this big thing of ectoplasm comes out of the wall. I step back a few feet. Like, what the heck? And it emanated from the wall. Mm-hmm. And then it just went back and slowly dissolved into the wall. And that was one time. The other times, the ectoplasm, it would kind of come in smoke. You know what smoke rings look like?
Mm-hmm.
It would come in smoke mm-hmm. rings very close to me. Mm-hmm. And when I first started seeing it, I thought, oh, you know, that's a, you know, dust or something floating in the air, or, you know, the sunlight shaft was coming through. And as it continued to happen, I realized it wasn't that. It was a circle of ectoplasm. Mm-hmm. They were also formed like it formed clouds over top of my dog's beds. It produced smells of alcohol and...
I hear the smells. Like, not a word of a lie. We had a shadow man. We had a female shapeshifter that would take my form, like my doppelganger, and would like attack my husband, Del. Then we had my boys and Del. There's an old video game called Super Mario Brothers, and there's a little character in there. He wears like the Grim Reaper hood, and he's got the belt, and then he's got like a Jason Voorhees. I don't watch horror movies. I don't even know what one it's from, but the guy with the hockey mask with the eyes. They would call him the Shy Guy because that was the name from the video game. So I hear what you're saying. Like, I think even a couple of my pets died because of what happened in that house. Like, there was just so many crazy things that went on. And, you know, it got to the point that you had to really, really not be afraid, knowing full well they can throw a 180-pound, you know, grown man, but be able to stand your ground, stand your dominion, and realize that you have that right. But, you know, the more I've asked Spirit and said, I really don't want to be working with this, but I'm starting to realize that maybe this is part of my path because I get a lot of dark people experiencing dark things. I have seen somebody possessed on camera, floating. And I keep saying, I don't want to work with this, but I don't know why they keep coming. Maybe it's because I've had the experience. I'm not sure, but it's so interesting. It's almost like they test us because they know that we can see them and we can hear them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, as long as you're working in the light, you know, and, you know, I've had many people say, how do you know you're not talking to demons? And, you know, these.
Well, there's such a difference. You were talking about the smell and I got off track. I am not kidding. I have another German Shepherd. My other one passed in that house just before we moved. It literally smells, and you've got dogs, like 1,000 Rottweilers or German Shepherds or Great Danes have all gone to the bathroom in the house number two out of nowhere, like literally gagging from the stench. And all of a sudden it'll be gone in about a second, like 30 seconds later, it's gone. So yeah. I know about the smells. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's something telepathic, I think, sometimes. These things can actually even be interdimensional. Mm-hmm. There's many, many theories about them and the Dijin, you know, with the shadow people. And they really don't like human beings. I haven't studied them a whole lot, but I certainly have read about them.
I have a friend that actually coined that phrase, the shadow man or hat guy, Heidi Hollis. She's very knowledgeable about them.
Coast to coast. Yes.
Yeah. She's a good friend of mine. So we've talked quite a bit about the stuff, and she's got some interesting stories. I'm going to have her back on here again, cause she's always got a different story every time she comes on, but very knowledgeable about them. Mm-hmm. So I guess, but I'll be honest with you, Carol, I don't think I've met somebody that works in this type of field that hasn't had an experience like you explained. So how did you get rid of them? Because that might really help people, because a lot of people seem to be having a lot more paranormal activity too.
I simply claimed my space.
Exactly. Dominion, and, right?
Mm-hmm. Told him to get out.
Excuse me.
Especially the ectoplasm guy. He was not malicious, but he was mischievous and he was scary. You know, so I told him to get out, and the phenomena really stopped. And the same with the shadow lady. That was a different house. Mm-hmm. You know, that I just told her to get out. But yeah, she produced a very rank odor. Oh. and would stand in one place. Very, very tall woman. Mm-hmm. And it was dark. In contrast to ectoplasm is usually white. You know, the shadow people, they are very dark. And interestingly, there had been other people who came to my house that I never even mentioned it to that told me that they saw it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was sort of a validation
Yeah, it was for us too, because like it can be just yourself or your family, but you know, when there's outside people that have experienced what you've experienced, then you know what you're feeling, what you're picking up, what you're seeing. It's not just you guys, that there's other people as well. And, you know, I almost think the reason why I say that I discuss all aspects of the paranormal is because, you know, I always say it can be very isolating. It's not like you can go to the grocery store and stand in line and have a conversation with somebody about this. Meanwhile, if you did, you find so many other people have had experiences. It's just people don't want to speak about it in case, you know, like, does this person think I'm crazy? I did want to ask you, because we've only got just less than 10 minutes. The one thing we were talking about, the Akashic files or the Akashic records, is there, I'd love for you to explain to people from your perspective and from the new book, what it's all about. Like, what are they? How do they influence people's lives? And another question people always ask, is everything pre-planned?
Yeah. Well, the Akashic records are energetic files or, you know, codes that the soul has created since the beginning of time. So whenever that might be, we don't know when that was. And they travel with the soul from lifetime to lifetime and in between lifetimes as well. Mm-hmm. We are always adding to our files. And sitting here doing this interview, we're adding to our files.
Yeah.
There's a remembrance. It's oftentimes a sort of a subconscious remembrance. You can have bleed throughs like deja vu. Mm-hmm. You can have traumatic experiences. Lately, I've been dealing a lot with people who have had trauma, and there's certain markers in the natal chart that show trauma from past life. And a lot of times people incarnate in order to heal that. Something sparks it off and kind of causes sort of a post-traumatic stress.
Right.
So that's part of the Akashic as well. But there's also very good parts of how we've helped people, the skills we've had, the talents we've had, musical talent, psychic ability, mediumistic ability, being a great athlete. Those just don't come out of nowhere.
Thin air.
They usually have come from prior experience with that. Now, not 100%, but usually, and you can see it, you can verify it if you do look at the natal chart. So the files are, think of a giant tape recorder, and that's always, always going, always recording. And that's what the files are. The famous psychic, Edgar Cayce, used to travel to the individuals, the sitter's Akashic file, and that's how he read, what was causing a particular illness. And Cayce always thought it was a spiritual imbalance of some sort, but he also gave a lot of remedies. He channeled those. In those days, it was a secretary that took copious notes of what he said. They didn't have tape recorders. So Cayce had a lot of knowledge of the files. Akashic is from the Sanskrit. It means ethers. So these are not, of course, physical things. They are, you know, stored in the ethers, but they're always connected to the soul. And they contain karma. They contain our blueprints, what we plan to do before we came here. Relationships. In Wisdom from the Spirit World, I wrote a lot about soul agreements. Mm-hmm. Those are for benefit of both souls, for spiritual evolution on some level. There's either unfinished business or there's purpose that needs to be met when those two souls come together.
All I was going to say is my friend Chris Lee, that I'd mentioned his wife Debbie from the UK, and he does the past life regressions. He doesn't tell you what your records are. He kind of guides you, and you're the one that experiences it in light hypnosis. But one of the books he's written, and of course he maintained people's anonymity, was the people that discovered that they were, say, a mass murderer or a serial killer. God, I'm getting really dark tonight. But I don't mean, the reason why, though, because I did ask him in the interview, I said, like, what does that do to a person if you discover that you were somebody like that. And then I realized with the thousands of past lives we've had, we're not all going to be airy fairy and light and whatever because of the soul agreements, right? And we would never look at it from a human perspective this way, but if you were literally a monster on this planet and it's a soul agreement for another person to be able to help grow or meet the needs, it's sort of hard to explain. I know you understand what I'm talking about, but imagine having to agree to be that, to help the other person evolve and, you know, with some of their life lessons, right?
Yeah, these can really get into some very deep terrain and involving a lot of trauma. You know, most of us have had lifetimes since the beginning where we misused power, right. Where we've been on the receiving end of somebody misusing their power towards us. Some of us have died that way. Some mm-hmm. of us have inflicted tremendous suffering on others. That all has to be balanced by that soul. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be through experiencing the opposite. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people misconstrue what karma really means.
I'm glad I was going to ask you that, because they do. Everybody misconstrues. Sorry, go ahead. I'd love for you to share with everybody.
Yeah. Karma is simply meaning cause and effect. And it means that for every effect, there's a cause, and for every cause, mm-hmm. there's an effect. And so the cause is thought. Mm-hmm. So if we balance, you heard these, you know, it's become a well-worn phrase, change your thoughts, change your life. Well, mm-hmm. that's really true, because when you start to get rid of some of these, beliefs, they could be from culture, they could be from religion, they could be from the family. And something that maybe you don't even know where you picked it up. I've had clients deep on worthiness. They have thoughts of they're not worth anything. So they keep manifesting really, you know, painful relationships, and they wonder why the person left them or whatever it might be. So that's what karma really is in its mm-hmm. basic form. It's not simple. There are many layers to it. And there is a way of meeting karma through grace. Casey wrote about this. And that means, like, say that I was highly abusive in an incarnation. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily have to come back and be abused to balance that karma. What I could do is perhaps work with abused people. I could become a counselor. You know, I could work with abused children. I could rescue animals, anything that will help me understand the opposite side of that coin. So
that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, right? As nurses and doctors, understanding what it's like to be a patient, kind of the same thing.
So mm-hmm. we circled around. See, we came.
Yes,
back.
We did.
We came back to the beginning.
I'm going to have you back on again. I knew, you know what? This just flew by. I hope it did for you. But what an interesting conversation. I want people to know where to find you, buy all your books. Please share all that with our listeners.
Yeah, my website is Soul Visions, and that's plural, visions.net, mm-hmm. soulvisions.net. My Facebook professional page is facebook.com/soulmedium, S-O-U-L, medium. All of my books are also available on Kindle, Nook, that's Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. If you want an autographed copy, you have to get that from me. You'll pay a little bit more, because even as the author, I can't beat Amazon prices, but you will get an autographed copy from yours truly.
Exactly.
All of my products are on there. You can also contact me through there through my website for a reading. I have done many readings all over the United States, but also in many other countries too. So Skype is always available, as well as the telephone.
That's the beauty of having these gifts, though. Even like, say, with crystal Reiki and stuff, you don't have to have the person in front of you. You can do it distance wise, and it works. It's a beautiful thing.
I have thought about that so many times over the past 9 months, because a lot of my groups, I do a lot of gallery mediumship. Mm-hmm. A lot of those have canceled because of the virus, mm-hmm. And the fairs and things like that. Mm-hmm. So those are not going on currently. Mm-hmm. I'm very grateful. I'm extremely grateful and humbled to be a conduit for spirit. And yes, I've thought about that almost every day, how blessed I am to be able to use this skill over the phone.
Exactly. Well, Carol, you've been an absolute pleasure to have on my show tonight. I'm serious about that. Probably in the new year, I would love to have you back on and continue our discussion. I should have warned you, I have a little bit of a delay with my Skype. I don't know if it's because I'm in Canada, so it'll seem like there's a pause and then I'll go to speak and I end up talking over someone. So I'm so sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, Skype has a tendency. Mm-hmm. But I've really enjoyed our time. And so you're right, it does fly.
What's that?
I said, you're right, it does fly by.
Yeah, it does. It does fly. Well, that's, I got to thank Spirit every time because they just kind of help guide the conversation the way it's supposed to go. I do want to remind our listeners, though, that you're listening to 107.7 in New Orleans, Louisiana. And for tomorrow night, hopefully, Seraphine and I will be back. We've missed the last couple of weeks. Seraphine's been a little bit under the weather. But we should be back with Tripping the Void, which is Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then this Friday, we have our host chat, I believe, with Joe Montaldo, the owner of UPRN. He also makes my job very easy. He does all the producing. So thank you, Joe. But there'll be a bunch of us on the panel. I think this week is a centralist, if I'm not mistaken. So it'll be politics. So it should be interesting. I send you guys all so much love and light. Thank you for listening. And we will see you again tomorrow. Thanks again, Carol, for being here too. Much love to you.
And I will either email you or you have my my email on Facebook Messenger.
Yes.
So just give me a heads up by, 6 weeks or, something so that we can set something up.
Absolutely. I mean that too. So you have a wonderful rest of your night. Okay. Well, it's probably late there too, like it is here,
it's almost 11. Would the link be on? I shared the link, with the graphics. And by the way, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
The graphic. It was very, very nicely done. Will you send me the link or
Okay. So
just tag me in it.
Yeah, no, or I can send you the link. Usually what I do is I go over to the, because once this is done, Joe archives our shows anywhere where there is talk radio or podcasts. And the network goes out to almost 200 countries. And then we're carried everywhere, like iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, you name it. So the video also gets archived on YouTube. So I'll send you a link to the video. Probably tomorrow I'll do that for you. But it'll be up tonight. Joe will make sure it'll be up.
Okay. Was my camera on for the viewers?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm just seeing my little square up in the thing.
Are you? No. I think that's all I was seeing. No, I did see myself. No, I could.
Check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
For over 30 years, Lexus has made the driveway a special place. But this year, some new driveway traditions appeared, like birthdays and drive-by graduation parades. Here's to making the driveway the place to celebrate. Deck your driveway at the Lexus December to Remember sales event. Find exclusive offers on our most popular models with contactless delivery. Now through January 4th. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Click the banner to discover more.